Well, good morning. This is Beth Smith. I'm up at 248 West 15th Street talking to Bonnie Bondurant. This happens to be March the 15th, 2005. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, and how are you?
Just fine. What can you tell us this morning?
Well, I was born in Los Animas, Colorado, and I went to school there until I was in the fourth grade. And then we moved to Elkhart, Kansas, where my dad went to work for a chain. Then from there, I lived there a whole 5 weeks, I think, and then we moved to Scott City, where he stayed for the rest for... And this was in 1935 in the Dust Bowl years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you lived within three blocks of school, you got to go home when one of those dust storms was coming. And if you lived farther than that, you stayed at school. I lived three blocks away, so I got to go home once in a while. And the grasshoppers would be so thick on the streets that you couldn't hardly walk. Then my dad's feet got bad, and we came to Canyon City, where my grandparents were. And I went to school from the sixth grade until I graduated from high school in 43 in Canyon City. Then I spent a year in Denver going to business school, and then my folks decided they closed up the grocery store we had here for a while the boys were all gone to service.
In Canyon City?
The one in Salida. We closed it. We had a store in Canyon City, too, but... Mm-hmm. We closed the one in Salida while the boys were all gone to service because you couldn't get any help. So I came home in 1944 to run the grocery store in Salida. And I moved up here. Well, I'd been up here when we were still had the grocery store before it was closed some, but I didn't live here. But in early 1945, I moved up here for good. And I've been here ever since.
What was the store called up here?
Oxford's Market.
And where was it?
It was on Highway 50, and it was a little bitty open-air fruit market, and wooden one. And the first time it burnt down in about 1939, on December of 1939, it burnt at Christmas time because we decorated it all with a bunch of pine boughs and stuff for Christmas, which made it burn easy. And then as they carried the stuff out of when it was burning, why... It froze because the snow was so deep on the ground and it was so cold here, so we lost nearly everything. But anyhow, then we rebuilt it into what it is now. And then we were there in that building until 1963, 64, and remodeled it a couple of times. And we built Jenny's Lunch was on the corner where the present Oxford's Market or Food Town is now. And we bought that land and tore the Jenny's Lunch down and built a new store and moved over there. We closed the one in where Movie Gallery is now one night about 9 o'clock and opened the next one the next morning at 8, which was quite a deal because it was about four times as big. And then we ran it until... Of course, I got married somewhere along the line, and then my husband and I ran it till 1981, and then we sold it to the Bowen brothers, and they ran it for a while, and then they leased it to Bill Holt and his wife, and then when they sold, they leased it to Jerry Gold and his wife, and then, of course, now it's closed, and we're still trying to rent it for something. But Movie Gallery, we rented the place that was Sears for a while over where Movie Gallery is when Bob Myers ran it. And then we leased it to J.C. Flicks, and then J.C. Flicks sold out to this bunch in Alabama, which is Movie Gallery, and that's still Movie Gallery. Mm-hmm. And I've been on Christmas Mountain Committee ever since we started putting the first four lights on Christmas Mountain.
That took a lot of work.
Yeah, in 89. I have never been up there and helped do that. I've been on the money-making part of it because it's kind of dangerous up there if you're not equipped for it. And it's more of a young person's job instead of my age.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, I'm still on the 4th of July fireworks, which my husband helped start that out to the recreation at Poncho where the community... building is, a 4-H building is now, and they used to have all the fireworks out there, and he used to stand there with a red bucket and take the donations as they drove in. It's always been donations that's put up the fireworks. finally, the city did finally give us some money since we've moved it to the mountain, but then before that they didn't.
What about Christmas Mountain? Was that all volunteer?
That definitely is all volunteer.
Money, too?
Money, too. Mm-hmm. The light bill, too. And when we put it in, then when Chris Shermer worked on it for many years, and then he decided that he'd had it, because he did it all free and volunteered his help too, and he decided that it was getting too much and he was too busy, so he decided to quit. So he said we really needed to put a lot of it, of the electrical things, down underground. So we let it be known that we needed about $14,000 to put a lot of that underground. And we were on the radio a couple of times and put it in the paper. You'd be surprised at the local people. I think it was about 3 weeks we had the $14,000 to put the electrical wires underground, which makes it a lot easier. Then after Chris finally decided that he didn't want to do it anymore, Steve Borbus took over from West Wind Motel. And he's got it all programmed. He's got it all like a fine science now. He puts it all in little sections. It's not near as hard to put up and take down as it used to be.
Mm-hmm. It really is a wonderful thing for Salina.
Oh, and people have donated the money to pay the light bill for about 2-3 years. Pueblo Bank and Trust paid it, and then of course then they quit paying it, which runs to right now about $1,000. For that month and a little over that it's on. But donations come in, and now then the Christmas Mountain Committee were around for a long time, and we ran the Parade of Lights too. And of course, I've been on the Parade of Lights Board Committee ever since it started too, and I still am. Because I was with the bunch that was on the Home and Garden show this year, that we did the interview for the Home and Garden, and I was also the parade marshal this year for the parade for Christmas, for Parade of Lights.
Well, what fun.
My 4-year-old granddaughter. Uh-huh. And a lady from the Community First Bank furnished the carriage and the horse. She lives down Howard.
Oh, that's fine.
So my husband was on the city council for 17 years, and then after he got killed, they decided that I had gone to enough water board meetings and so forth and so on with him that maybe I should be on the city council too. So I finally decided that I would do it, and then I stayed there for 8.5 years, and I decided that somebody young should have the job.
What did you accomplish in those 8.5 years?
Well, we did a lot. We bought the new ladder truck, and we bid a lot of things, if I remember right. And it was a congenial bunch. It wasn't... Everybody got along way back then, you know. It wasn't everybody fighting against each other, and it was nice.
Mm-hmm. Who was the mayor when you were on the council?
Nancy Sanger. Uh-huh. Well, Pat Brooks was city administrator, and poor old Pat worked like a dog, and she worked lots of hours and didn't get much pay, and it's not like now that they get the kind of wages they get, because Pat didn't get that kind of wages, and she worked many, many hours. We didn't have a city planner. We didn't have a lot of things that we do now.
Is that progress?
Sometimes I wonder.
Yeah.
So I have 2 children. My son lives at Coaldale, and him and I have a rafting, rock climbing, horseback riding business at Coaldale.
At
Cotopaxi, Colorado.
Called what?
Called Rock and Roll. And my daughter lives in Pueblo. My son-in-law's a retired school teacher from South High. My daughter has done a lot of special ed. She's a special ed teacher. And right now she's not doing anything, but she's... And I have 3 granddaughters. 2 of them live in Manhattan, Kansas, and 1 of them lives in Greeley. I also have 5 great-grandchildren as today. As first of the last of this week, I'll probably have the 6th one. But
great.
And they all live in Manhattan, Kansas, which is quite a distance to go every time I go to see the great-granddaughters. Yeah. And I have 1 granddaughter that's only 4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nice family.
It's grown quite a bit.
Yes. Well, let's back up a little bit and tell me more about your beginning years here. Where did your family come from?
Well, my mother came from Missouri. In fact, a place called Wabalo. And years ago, we had a horse that we had on the racetrack. And we named it Wabalo. And if you ever saw a mispronounced name in your life, it was when it was wandering on the track, because nobody could pronounce that Wabalo. And my dad came from Texas originally, but then my grandparents homesteaded in Sweetwater, Oklahoma, before they moved to Los Angeles, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I was down in Sweetwater and Sarah, Oklahoma, just about a month ago, because I had a cousin that passed away down there, and I'm glad they moved to Colorado.
That's good. Now, when were you born? What's your birthday?
June 10th,
1925. And you ended up in Canyon City.
I lived in Canyon City till I graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. Then I went to business school. In fact, last year my class, I was gone to Kansas because I had a granddaughter, had a birthday about that time. But my class had a 60-year reunion last year.
In Canyon City.
And I still get, and now they put out a little newsletter every other month and list all the things that the different ones in my class have done and how many of them are still alive and so forth.
Do they do this every year?
No, they just started this when the 60th anniversary was.
Well, you tell me something about your husband now. What was his name?
Richard Bondurant. He was born in, if his parents hadn't been in Pitkin right about that time, because he was raised, they lived in Salida, but they happened to be in Pitkin when he was born. But he was a lifelong member of Salida. Mm-hmm. His uncle ran a dairy over, where fish, down just across the Little River for many, many years. Way back. And then he went to school here. He had two brothers and a sister. And right now there's the oldest brother. No, he had three brothers and a sister. And the only one still living is the sister.
Is she living here in town?
Oh, no, she lives in California with some of her children.
Mm-hmm. And you two ran Oxford Market.
When we got married, Dick ran the one. We had a store in Buena Vista then, which is now the front end of Jan's restaurant. And my husband ran it and drove back and forth for about a year. And I ran the one in Salida. Then this was after we got married, even. And then we sold the one in Buena Vista. And then him and I ran this one until 1981 when we sold out.
And when were you married?
I kind of remember that last night. I think it was 1947.
Uh-huh. Now, where did we get the name Oxford Market?
That's my parents' name originally.
I see.
I'm an Oxford and we had three stores to start with. Well, we had a little bitty fruit market down on South 9th Street in Canyon. Then we built a big one out on Main Street in Canyon City, which when we went out of business down there, we sold, tore it down, and now that's where the Canyon City Post Office sits. We were in business down there from probably 1937.
Until 81, okay.
No, we sold out. We quit down there in 1980. Mm-hmm. It just got too much. too hard.
You say your husband was killed. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, we'd been up to Denver to the Republican convention, and we came home, and we went to the ranch at Howard and visited with my mother and brother and so forth. They were up there for the day, and then we went on down to the one at Coaldale, and that we had in Coaldale, the ranch we had in Coaldale. And the year before, a big piece of log had come down in the June floods and washed out the bridge. So this time we didn't want the bridge washed out and bothered. So they were pulling a tree out of the creek when and my son was driving the pickup, and he hollered and told his dad to get back out of the way. Be quiet. And about that time, a chunk about 2 foot long or 3 foot long broke off and flew through the air about 20 feet and hit him in the back of the head. We flew him to Pueblo to the neurosurgeon, and he was down there for, well, really, I could hold his hand and he'd squeeze my hand and his eyes had moved a little until the day of my birthday, the 10th of June, and then after that there wasn't anything. And so I made him do about 2 more brain scans, and there just wasn't anything there. So, and he passed away the 14th of June.
Sorry to hear that. And you came back to Salida, and you've been busy ever since.
Oh yeah. I went to work down at Cruz Bakes for a while. One morning, we was out to Dick and I were at the spa eating Country Bounty, spa then, eating breakfast, and Mac McVeigh was in there, and he said, "What? How are you getting along?" And I said, "Well, I'm getting along fine in the summertime because I can garden, but in the wintertime it's kind of bad because I haven't got enough to do." So he said, I said, "It's getting so bad, I think I'll come down and ask you for a job." And he said, "Okay." So I went to work part-time the next day. And I stayed there for 19 years.
That's great.
And then in the meantime, started out just working part-time. Then pretty soon Mac wanted to know if I wanted to be the men's buyer. And then the next thing, then Mac passed away, and Jane Ferrero and I ended up running it with Joe was still around, but then when she left, Jane and I still ran it then after Joe passed away, we ran it still for the son that inherited it. It was Joe's son that inherited it, and he lived in Amarillo, Texas. And we were still running it when Hightower had already bought the building from Ben Groy. Then he wanted to put his insurance business in there, and so he told us we would have to move. And I offered to buy a building, to rent Joe's son a place, Bill, but he finally decided that he wanted to close it up, and he took his money and went back to Texas.
Mm-hmm. We really miss it, too.
Yes, we do, and a lot of people do. I know they do because, you know, we handled everything, and we handled nice clothes and nice things, but it's just one of those things. I guess it's called progress. I don't know.
That's what it's called, all right.
Sometimes it's a pain in the neck, but they call it progress.
Well, you've lived here a long time and seen things happen in Salida. What big changes have you seen in the town?
Well, I can remember Anschutz when they tore down the railroad building down at the end of F Street. And Anschutz said that he would see the grass grow on F Street in Salida, Colorado. But, you know, I've been here a long time, and I haven't seen it growing there yet. But he tore the railroads. We wanted it to make a community building or gift shop or something out of. And he tore it down, started tearing it down early in the morning, had the wreckers there tearing it down, so they wouldn't let us have it. And he was DNRGW Railroad then, so... And there's been a lot of, when we first came out on the highway, about the only place was, let's see, there was a little restaurant down in the other block where Cellular One is, one run by Delbert Dale, just a little bitty one. Koenig's had a little bitty motel, and then in the our block, there was Warner Service Station, and then we had our little fruit market thing, and next door was Jenny's Lunch. Across the street, where Phillips 66 is now, was a little filling station and so forth. There wasn't any motel there. And then the swimming pool definitely didn't look like it does now. And then across from that was, which is now the Country Bounty, which was called Skelly Motor Inn. And they had a little restaurant in there with, if I remember right, three or four stools. And then Holdsworth built it to a bigger restaurant, called it the Spa. And then, of course, then Holdsworth sold it out to Osborne, and then Osborne finally sold it to the people that have it now.
Well, Highway 50 doesn't look like that now.
No, it doesn't. All those motels that were along there weren't there way back then.
Yeah.
Koenig's was there. Up at the swimming pool, there were four little cabins that people used to come from all over and stay in the summertime and take the hot bath. In fact, we rented one of them when we first got married for a couple of months because our house wasn't ready to move into. And we moved the house that's over there on 231 West 15th from the place at Coaldale. We lived there until we moved into this house after Eddie Coachman built his house.
And about what year did you move into this place?
63.
Beautiful home.
Thank you.
You've lived here all the time.
I've lived here all the time. Uh-huh. Eddie Coachman built it. It was one of the last ones that Eddie Coachman built. Mm-hmm. But I kept telling him I wanted him to be sure he built my house before he quit. And we walked it many days trying to figure out how to get a good view of the mountains from every window. And so far we still have it.
That's why you're sitting in a little bit of an angle on your
yes,
lot
that's
here.
Exactly why. Uh-huh. And I have six lots, which there's days that I think it's far too many, but anyhow, most of the time I like it.
You mentioned gardening. Is that one of your hobbies?
It is some to a certain extent. I don't get much time at it now since we run a rafting office and then we're busy in the summertime, so I don't get to do that. I still do my own yard. I have a riding lawnmower, and I do mow my own lawn, and of course I have a sprinkling system that waters it. So
that's good. Can you think of any outstanding events in Salida? For instance, World War II, or how did Salida treat things like that?
Well, it was one that really well. World War II. I wasn't here much until the tail end of it, mm-hmm. because I was still going to school in Canyon City. And of course, Dick was in the service.
Where was he stationed in the service?
He was stationed in Utah to start with, and then in Fort Benning, Georgia. Uh-huh. He never did go overseas because he got hurt at camp, so he never did go overseas. Uh-huh. His two brothers both did, the ones that lived here.
Yeah, how did Salida celebrate World War II?
Well, it must have been kind of quiet because I don't remember much about it, really. Uh-huh. And I remember that it was when Kennedy got killed, it was quite a shocker, and everybody in town was just kind of shocked. I do remember that. But I don't remember where Salida had anything exciting goes on for World War II, when World War II ended or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, the railroads had a big part.
Oh, yeah, the rails. Well, years and years ago, you know, the railroad used to take the train to the ball games and so forth. And, of course, now they don't do that. But the railroad was a big thing way back then. And then Climax, you know, after Climax was a big thing because there's a lot of people lived in Salida that worked at Climax and made big money. And then when Climax closed down, a lot of people had to leave because they couldn't get a job. And it hurt the community, I know, greatly.
You don't work anymore now.
Only in the rafting company in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. Keeps you busy.
I help cook the lunches that we serve on our all-day trips, and I also drive the van that hauls the rafters and rafts.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun.
Well, it's different.
And you're on the library board.
I'm on the library board. I'm on the Salida Housing Board. And I still go to Merchants. Although I don't have a business in Salida, I still go to Merchants every meeting.
You must enjoy it.
I enjoy the Merchants, and I still work with them quite a lot. I also go to focus group meetings, which is the part of the Merchants.
Mm-hmm. The town is all excited about building a new hospital. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I don't know. I realize that we probably do need it. I don't know much about it. I know that our building is old. I sure don't want to see it leave Salida.
Where would you put it?
I don't really know. I know there's some land up behind, somebody told me up behind where the medical building is, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I brought up the ballpark, but I find that they can't have the ballpark because it has to go below the city. It has to go to a vote of people.
Oh.
I thought a good place for it would be over where the soccer fields are, but no. So I don't know. I'd like to see maybe assisted living where the library, where the old hospital is, if they quit using it, because we've been wanting an assisted living here for quite some time, and it would be very good because a lot of people have to go someplace else.
Mm-hmm. It's hard on families.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got a good idea, Jet.
Well, I work.
Don't retire forever here.
Yeah. I try to work at it.
Well, can you think of anything else?
No,
like
I sure can't
about
this morning.
Oh, you've done a good job. Thank you very much, Bonnie.
Thank you, Beth.